Don't move. You're listening to Harpy Hour.
We just want to share another awesome podcast with you first.
So check these guys out and stay tuned for this week's episode of Harpy Hour.
In a world, there was one podcast that made all others look like silly little part-time, half-baked ideas that should have been thrown in the trash can after being written down. That's a super long-winded way of saying that Drunk Theory Podcast is the best-kept secret out there right now. They're a bunch of idiots talking about conspiracy theories, and when these four come together, they have the capability to solve just about any question coming their way. But keep in mind, they're idiots, so sometimes they won't have the answer. But we guarantee you'll end up laughing so hard you cry or urinate in your pants. I don't make the rules here. So let Matthew, Kara, Kelly, and Ryan give you everything you never know you needed and more. Only on Drunk Theory Podcast, available on all major streaming platforms. More conspiracies coming soon.
Harpy Hour may contain explicit language, as well as graphic, violent, and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Harpy Hour,
the harpiest of all the hours.
The hours!
I'm like,
make it stop.
Both of my cats just like perked up and looked around like, what is that?
You're welcome. Just exhibiting my range.
On their frequency.
Guys, a few days ago, Eric was staying over and for some reason he decided to Google like sounds that attract cats and he found like mewing like baby kittens, like really small kittens, just making this like high pitched like meow, meow. And he played it and Cheddar immediately like perked up and started following him around. Like he would go to the kitchen, he would go to the living room, like just walk around, and Cheddar would constantly just follow him looking around and like distressed, like, oh my god, where's the kitten?
Yes.
And Oliver sits still with like his ears twitching like, what the fuck, make it stop. So I said Cheddar was a hero and Oliver is like me and does not like children.
I was doing a project for work once in high school, and it was about like bird calls for like local birds native to our region. And so I was like listening to bird songs on my computer next to the window. And after like 20 minutes, I was like putting all these sound clips together. And then I looked out the window and like all the neighborhood birds.
For
there.
Excellent. Excellent.
And I was like, oh, sorry.
Just kidding.
Lols. No actual birds in here.
Sorry about that.
LOL.
Do you guys know what tomorrow is as of this recording?
No. May 18th. I don't know.
No.
Tomorrow is Tuesday.
It's I Love Reese's Day.
Oh, you would know. My God.
Are you going to celebrate in a customary fashion?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
Who is going to celebrate?
A supply of peanut butter cups ready to go.
Who is going to celebrate?
Me.
Who are you?
Oh. Oh, wow, Steph.
You didn't say who we were, so I didn't have my name.
How the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are the Harpies.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Liz.
I'm Steph, and I've got my shit together.
Yeah.
I mean,
for
it
once.
Only took 73 episodes.
Peanut for butter once. Cups will always come first.
That's fair. Before friendship.
I have no other priorities.
That's accurate, actually. Oh. I do love peanut butter. Now I'm going to celebrate.
I need to get peanut butter cups tomorrow, too.
Yeah, I need to get it shipped to my home.
Shipped? Go to the grocery store. Go to the corner store.
They're locally available.
It's hailing, as I said before. It's hailing.
So send Craig out. He likes snow.
I mean, it's not snow.
Hail
exactly.
Is not snow.
You don't need to mail order Reese's cups. You can get them literally anywhere.
Hail is not snow, Hawaii.
Same shit. It's cold.
No.
Okay.
It's equally not awful.
Okay. I all right.
There's it's a weather fine spectrum, and hail and snow
hail
are
and snow are the same.
Yeah.
It, they're, to me, they're
they
equally
occupy
shitty
the same
hail,
space
ice,
the spectrum.
Snow. It's all cold. It's all awful.
We've got like some thunder hail going on right now.
Thunder Ooh, hail.
I like the sound
it
of
is
that.
Mm-hmm. It's got oh, some lightning in there.
That made me think. So, you know, my last segment where I did a bunch of booby nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. One that I came across on Urban Thesaurus was Thunder Pumpkins.
Thunder Pumpkins.
Yeah.
It's very seasonal.
It doesn't immediately. Yeah. That feels like I should be in Uggs with my pumpkin spice, you know? Like.
Yeah. Like it doesn't immediately. So I figured if I slipped that in there, you'd be like, Thunder Pumpkins, what the fuck? But that was
yeah,
one I found on Urban
Thesaurus. Yeah, that's
less.
It doesn't evoke the booby like
no
aesthetic, but I see that it's a very autumnal
it's trying too hard
thing. Yeah, it's
I
really
don't
trying
know where thunder comes in. Pumpkins doesn't seem like quite the right shape. Melons I get
mean,
chestnuts I can yeah, but peaches
as
even
we know Steph different shapes
different
somebody
shapes
out there
maybe somebody's got
pumpkin
boobs
and we
thunder
are not shaming
boobs
them.
Congratulations no,
absolutely
not
on your pumpkin boobs.
I support your pumpkin boobs. Not as well as a bra would, but I do support them.
Oh.
Anyway.
Guys, this weekend, one of the PAs at work celebrated her 30th birthday by having a party on a boat. And I
I'm
went
on a
to
boat,
it.
Motherfucker, take a look at me.
And I got to dress up and I got to dance and go to an open bar, and I was like, oh my
so
god.
So like, why do you even need Tracy's wedding?
Well, it just got me even more excited for Tracy's wedding.
See?
So I was like, oh my god, I have not gotten to do this in so goddamn long. Like, dance and drink and just like, be free and party.
So
dancing on a boat, not easy when you're swaying mm-hmm a little bit, you know, but so much fun.
So this is
I
our last recording before my wedding, and I just feel like everyone's going to have to relearn how to be in public before or during my reception.
That's kind of what I felt like here at this party. It was like, oh,
it's like, oh, I can't take my pants off.
I have to remember how to do this, how
yeah
to socialize and like talk to people and be on a dance floor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like relearning how to be a human in public.
Yeah.
It was so refreshing, though. I did not know how much I needed that. Now I'm extra excited for the wedding. Not that I wasn't before, but I'm extra excited
I was
now
gonna say, should
you
I
feel
be
prepped
offended right now?
No, like, I think she feels prepared. Like,
right, it was like training. Yeah.
Okay.
She all had right her wedding session training bra
she
on
had the training bra, and now she's moving into the steel
the
corset
leagues
or the big leagues or whatever.
Yeah. It was anyway a practice session.
Excellent.
Also, there's a lot of medical people on that boat, and someone made the comment of like, if this boat goes down, we're going to be super short staffed in the ER.
This is going to be real sad.
This is a risky endeavor. Tracy.
Yes.
Do you have something you want to talk about this week?
I do.
You do?
I do.
What is it? What do you want to talk about?
This week, I'm going to talk about you got the moves like Jaguar. You got the moves like Jaguar. I was really proud of it.
Jaguar.
And you know what, Steph? It was not a Hamilton reference.
There you go.
It wasn't a Hamilton reference.
So
this
morning
time
you sent us a text being like, I don't love my teaser.
Well, I changed it.
Oh, what was it before?
It was shitty before. I'm not even going to say it. It was good now. I got the moves like Jaguar. I got the moves.
Are we going to talk about Jaguar cars?
Got the ooh moves like Jaguar. Guess you're going to have to wait for my segment.
Kitties?
Do, 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 do.
Jaguar football team? That's a football
the
team,
the avoidance
right
tactic. Yeah, there is a sports there's a sports ball team.
Jacksonville Jaguars,
team.
Yeah.
Yeah, the football in Florida, right?
It's football, yeah.
Oh my god, look at that.
Sometimes it just always blows my mind that Tracy knows so much sports.
I through osmosis just living in my family
to me, but yeah. Like, how is Tracy the sports person?
It's under her umbrella of like pop culture shit, right? It's kind of in there. More so than either of our umbrellas.
Okay.
Ish.
Today we're gonna talk about zoos.
Zoo. For a second, I thought you said zooms.
Well, which means jaguars do
zoomies.
Zoomies.
Cheddar is zooming real hard right now.
Oh yeah, Puddles was really hard in the zoomies yesterday. Like he's been really leaning in,
running back and forth across the apartment, jumping into boxes, making all kinds of noises. So hopefully it's not picking up on the audio.
Rosalind sees ghosts. We're pretty sure of it. And she zooms away from them.
Mm-hmm. When they're zooming, they're fighting the goblins, I think. Like the invisible goblins that none of us can see.
So, my roommate does not zoom. So boring.
Worst roommate ever.
Boring.
We should ask her to zoom.
My cats particularly zoom, especially Cheddar, after taking a poop.
They got the poopy zoomies. The poomies.
I don't know if yours do that. It's like he exits the litter box.
They have that weight lifted.
Yeah, exactly. He exits the litter box and just like zips across the apartment. Oftentimes jumps into the bathtub and starts meowing in the bathtub. And if I go check on him, he's like, what?
That seems like a very specific kind of mm-hmm. that I am unfamiliar with.
That's Cheddar Zoomy, the post-poop bathtub Zoom.
Okay, so we're going to talk about zoos.
Not Zooms.
Let's talk about the etymology, not the entomology, because that's bugs. Although we could, but we're talking about the etymology.
Okay. What about a zoo full of bugs? A bug zoo?
It's derived from the Greek word zoom, which is based on the term zoology, which is the study of animals, short for zoological garden, AKA animal park, AKA menagerie. The definition is a facility in which animals are housed within enclosures, cared for, displayed to the public, and in some cases bred. So now we all know what zoos are. Did you guys ever have that video? It was like a little kid video, and it had the song, "We're going to the zoo today. We're going to the zoo. All your favorite animals will explore the zoo with you."
No, never heard of it. The last time I went to the zoo, it was in here in Hawaii, and there was two tortoises going at it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's alarming.
Full on, middle of a field, making the whole like noise with it. Very slow.
Okay, well, I don't make that noise. That's alarming.
No, that's what turtles do.
Oh, I didn't know that about turtles.
They just make a weird, awkward like.
Nope. Don't like it.
If it's a small turtle, it's like a.
I hate it. Stop.
I got video.
I've got
video of the humping tortoises.
Steph's turtle mating impersonations.
I hate it.
Not what I thought I was going to be saying today.
You're welcome. No. I'm here all day.
Okay.
She's going to look out her window and there's going to be a turtle. Like.
She's on like the 8th floor or something.
I'm on the 20th floor.
Yeah, 20.
Whatever. It's fine. I've been there. It's fine. Okay. 3500 BCE. The oldest known zoological collection in Hierakonpolis, Egypt. 3500 BC.
What animals did they have?
Well, I'm getting to it. Oh, it was excavated in 2009. And it had over 100 animals, including hippopotami, elephants, baboons, and wildcats, which are not native to Egypt.
Where'd they get them from?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't ask the artifacts that.
Well, I thought, you know, maybe they could have figured it out.
Who were they trading with?
They did not. They did not specify. Archaeological evidence, however, showed healed bone fractures, steady diets, and religious burials, which implies that they kept really good care of the animals. So they were good zookeepers.
Why do they have fractures?
Well, you know, just from being animals. You know, maybe tortoise humping. I don't know.
The important thing is they were healed.
Exactly. Because in the wild, they would just be left to die.
Maybe they were rescued.
Yes. Yeah.
What if they were like injured and like, oh, we'll take you in and rehabilitate you?
Yeah, that's what zoos do.
That's what I'm going to choose to believe.
Well, actually, no, zoos don't necessarily rehabilitate. Those are like...
From this point on, Egyptian elite kept wild animals as a status symbol.
Ramesses this is why second. Tracy's segments are always the shortest. She doesn't let us go on. She doesn't Ramesses give us time to banter.
Ramesses II had a lion that he would casually take into battle, just for funsies.
As you do.
Hatshepsut kept rhinos, giraffes, and monkeys just to amuse her. Because she felt like it.
Entertainment.
These collections were known as menageries at the time. That term falls out of fashion at some point in this timeline. 1150 BCE, Chinese Empress Tanki built China's first zoo. It is known as the House of Deer. No, I have no further information about this, so let's just assume it is exactly what it sounds like. It is a house of deer.
Deer.
Okay. I have no further information. I went down the Google rabbit hole. It's not there. All we know is it's called the House of Deer.
Okay. No questions, no notes.
I will not be taking questions at this time on the House of Deer.
Do not at Tracy.
Okay.
At her all the time.
Around 1100 BCE, which is like 50 years later, King Wen of Zhao built China's largest zoo. He called it Ling Yu, which means the Garden of Intelligence, and it was 1,500 acres large. For comparison, today's Beijing Zoo is 200 acres. So it was very, very big.
Got it. Big zoo.
Big zoo. Around the 1000s BCE, King Ashurbelkala of the Middle Assyrian Empire created a zoological and botanical garden. This is in present-day Syria, Iraq, Turkey, and Iran. In 500 BCE, Alexander the Great starts sending exotic animals back to Greece from the armies that he conquered. He was like, have a souvenir. You have a rhino, and you have a giraffe, etc.
Everybody gets an animal.
Yeah. 366 BCE, Roman games used exotic animals in combat for the first time, which is a womp womp. So these animals came from the Roman emperor's private collections that were used for both study and for combat. And I will now read to you from a 19th century historian named W.E.H. Lecky. This person says, quote, at one time, bear and a bull chained together rolled in fierce combat across the sand, ellipses. 400 bears were killed in a single day under Caligula, ellipses. Under Nero, 400 tigers fought with bulls and elephants. In a single day, at the dedication of the Colosseum by Titus, 5,000 animals perished.
Oh, under so many. Yeah,
it's a lot. Under Trajan, ellipses, lions, tigers, elephants, rhinoceroses, hippopotami, giraffes, bulls, stags, even crocodiles and serpents were employed to give novelty to the spectacle, unquote. So not a good era for zoos.
No.
No.
Not a good era for animal welfare.
No, not
Jesus.
At all. Not good. In the 800s AD, we're now in the Common Era at this point, Charlemagne kept an elephant named Abul Abbas. No more information on that. Just had an elephant.
All right.
1100s. King Henry I of England kept a collection of lions, leopards, and camels at his palace in Woodstock, just for funsies. 1204. King John I, also of England, creates the most prominent collection of wild animals in medieval Europe called the Royal Menagerie. 30 years after establishing the menagerie, so in 1235, King Henry III received 3 leopards for his wedding from the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick II. And if you bitches don't get me leopards, I'm going to be pissed.
You're not getting any.
And if we do get you leopards, Craig will be pissed.
Yes.
He already has to put up with Mac.
The bride's always right.
He has to put up with Mac, who needs to be sedated just to get a basic exam. Imagine what you'd have to do to examine
Mac
a leopard.
Mac was such a little prince this last time. Mac has been, like, so subdued the last, like, couple weeks. He's really, like, turn the corner. Anyway, 30 years after that, 1264, animals were moved to Bulwark into what was then called the Lion Tower. Lion Tower no longer exists, but if it did, it would be part of the Tower of London, as it is known today. The Lion Tower opened to the public during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I in the 1500s. During the 1700s, admission was 3 halfpence, which equates to the cost of a cat or dog to feed to the lions.
Oh, oh,
I know. It was really bad.
Oh,
the animals were moved to the London Zoo when it opened in 1828. 1765, the oldest existing zoo, like still existing, opens to the public. This is the Tiergarten Schönbrunn in Vienna, Austria.
The animal garden.
I know, isn't it cute? It was constructed in 1752 on the orders of Emperor Francis I of Austria, obviously. And it evolved from the exotic animal collection maintained by the Habsburg dynasty, founded in 1546. So they basically just like opened up their private collection to the public.
It's so weird to think about doing that with animals. Like, you know,
isn't
like art museums. You totally get like, oh, we've been building this collection of modern art or Renaissance art or fine art or whatever. And now we're just going to let the public enjoy it because we're noble and such. But like doing that with animals sounds so weird.
Yeah, I have people pay me to come meet my cats.
I mean, I don't feel like your cats are exotic enough.
This is a personally curated selection.
They're great. You know what? I can open my own cat cafe in my apartment.
There you go.
Just come and play with my cats for a little bit.
Do you provide anything aside from the cats? Like coffee?
A cup of coffee. Yeah. I'll give you a cup of coffee and like half an hour of cat time.
And singular cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You get black tea or
will you do house calls with your cats?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
They tend to not be as friendly when you bring them into a new environment.
Mm. Yeah, they're not skittish about that.
Mm-hmm. They're a little like they feel more comfortable at their home base, you know.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah.
Okay. In the 1800s, zoos. This is when the zoos like started to move from being symbols of high society and like royalty and stuff. So they were like status symbols to what we know now as like public zoological gardens, meant to educate and connect the public with nature. So that's like a whole movement in the 1800s.
That's what we hope zoos are.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Right.
1828. First use of the term zoo refers to the London Zoo. So before they were originally known as like zoological gardens and whatnot, or zoological forests. But then the abbreviation came about when the London Zoo opened, which was originally called the Gardens and Menagerie of the Zoological Society of London. Which,
no, that does not, it's too much.
It doesn't fit on a t-shirt.
Does not roll off the tongue. No.
It doesn't really work.
Mm-mm. Does not fit on a keychain.
No.
Too much.
This is also the first zoo that was like built in the middle of a city to emphasize that it was designed to cater to like the London public at large. Because before they were kind of on the outskirts, like
harder to access.
They didn't want the plebs going. So.
Mm-hmm.
1847, the first appearance of the term in print refers to the Clifton Zoo in Bristol, which is also in England. 1853, Zoological Society of London, back again, opens the world's first public aquarium.
Ooh.
So that wasn't too far behind.
I like aquariums.
That was what, like 30 years later? A little less than 30 years later. 1869, Alfred Vance's song Walking in the Zoo becomes the first reference to the term zoo in pop culture. Don't know that song.
I was going to say, yeah, that classic.
Yeah.
It was in 1869, so...
Can't get it out of my head.
We probs don't know it.
Yep. Going to be humming that all day.
Yep. 1874, Philadelphia Zoological Society opens America's first zoo in... You guessed it.
Philadelphia.
PA.
I was going to say Erie.
No. We have a zoo, but it's not America's first zoo.
You don't know
the what is at the Erie Zoo.
Why isn't on the list of things to do in Erie on your wedding
website?
Because
it's not as accessible as the other dock attractions. You would have to go up the highway. And I mean, if you want to visit it, you can. I'm not limiting it.
I'm looking this up.
I feel like I remember when I was in PA school, there was a large park that had a petting zoo there. And the petting zoo just had like the common like deer and like a goose. It was like all kinds of just like a squirrel, like animals that you just find like around you all the time in New Jersey, just in cages. I'm like, I feel really bad for these like flock of geese that is encaged in this little park watching all the other geese shitting around the field freely.
It looks so small, and the little description on Google Maps, you know, like underneath the name of like a business establishment, it'll like say like what it is.
Yeah,
it's Erie Zoo, animals, playground, and ice skating rink.
Well, the ice skating rink is on the same grounds, but it's not part of the zoo, as far as I know. Maybe they bought it. I don't know. I haven't been to the zoo in like decades.
The website has a picture of a tiger, so there must be tigers.
Yeah, I'm now on this website.
Animal cams.
Yeah. Look, they're really stepping up their game over here. I remember we would go to Zoo Boo when we were little, and that was like, you would trick or treat at all the different animal enclosures. It was really precious. We have a lot of good pictures. Tommy, my brother, got attacked by a goat at the petting zoo in Erie. The true story. Maybe I'll tell that at his wedding.
It's one of the region's most treasured destinations, Tracy.
I mean, I like it.
You guys have lions, wild dogs, alpacas, leopards, tigers.
It's only
angora goats.
15 little acres.
You have wallabies. So cute. Sheep.
Oh, that's new. I have not. Well, that's part of the petting zoo.
Lynx.
Oh, they're hiring.
You've got kangaroos, jaguars, zebras. All right. You've got legit mini horses. Oh, my goodness.
My very first show was at the zoo. It was What's New at the Zoo, and I was a little black horse in the show.
Oh my goodness. Please send pictures.
I will.
There are potbelly pigs and naked mole rats there.
We've really stepped up our game.
Warthogs.
They're trying to raise $10 million to expand and offer more wild open spaces for their animals.
Visayan warty pigs.
We had the same polar bear there for like 20 years.
Liz, he's they've got hedgehogs.
No.
Yeah, they have a little like small animal enclosure or like a house where you can go in and see all the little like small animals. It's a destination. You guys should go. Okay. Anyway, 1894, today's largest zoo in the world opens. Any guesses where it is?
San Diego?
No.
It's a big zoo, isn't it?
It is a big zoo, but that's not it.
China?
No, it's in the U.S.
Mm.
Don't you dare Google it.
D.C.
Nope.
No, we're not that big
a zoo.
I don't know. We have it's famous, but it's
the National Zoo, but it's not the biggest.
Yeah.
Okay. The Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium in Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha.
Would not have guessed it.
130 acres large and 962 species of animals. Now, before you argue with me, some zoos in the world are physically larger or have more animals, but this is the largest when both metrics are used.
Okay. All right.
I cross-referenced all of my sources. You can
Google
it.
Combined metric.
Yes. It also contains the largest cat complex in North America.
Nice.
The world's largest indoor swamp. The world's largest indoor desert. And also the world's largest glazed geodesic dome. For those of you who don't know what geodesic dome is, geodesic is a geometric term for relating to or denoting the shortest possible line between two points on a sphere or other curved surface. You know the ball at Epcot? That's a geodesic dome.
Oh, okay.
That's basically what this looks like.
Okay.
In the pictures. So go to Omaha, apparently. 1907. Entrepreneur Carl Hagenbach Jr. establishes Tierpark Hagenbach in Hamburg, Germany. This is the first zoo to use open enclosures surrounded by moats instead of cages for their animals. It is also, guys, I scienced so hard for this. Hold on. It's also the first to set up mixed species exhibits organized by geography instead of by taxonomy, which was the practice of the time. Would you like to know the difference?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. For example, baboons and gibbons are different genuses that share the same superfamily Hominoidea in taxonomy. Family, genus, and species are the only smaller groupings than the superfamily. So it's getting down there. They share a common ancestor. But baboons are indigenous to northern Africa, and gibbons are native to subtropical climates in Asia. So in zoos of the time, baboons and gibbons would be displayed in cages next to each other. But in Tier Park, they were in different enclosures grouped by habitat.
That makes more sense to me.
It does, but that's not what they were doing at the time.
I think it could go either way. Like, I understand, like, you know, like the cat exhibit, like going to different sections of a zoo to see groups of similar or related animals. I see the appeal of that. And I also see the appeal of, like, kind of touring the world. Like, here's desert animals. Here are, you know, jungle animals. I think there's an appeal either way.
1924, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums is established. 1931, first drive-through safari park opens. This is Whipsnade Wild Animal Park in Bedfordshire, England. England just innovates zoos like all the fucking time. It meant that visitors could get closer to the animals than they ever could before, and it was also touted as an advancement over the traditional cage animal habitats. So, like, we're not too far removed from, like, the caged animals. We're, like, 30 years out from there. 1935, World Association of Zoos and Aquariums, or WAZA, is established. 1939 to 1945, aka World War II, Japan uses its Ueno Imperial Zoological Gardens, located in Tokyo, to educate the public about the lands that their armies were conquering.
Yeah.
So they were like, hey, we just conquered Ghana. Here are some animals you find in Ghana. Like, that was their public, you know, outreach at the time. Huh. They used the zoo.
These are our prisoners of war.
Yeah.
So 1958, the last zoo exhibit to feature human beings alongside animals.
Were there humans in the zoo?
Yeah.
What?
Yes. The Congolese village display in Brussels, Belgium, was displayed during the 1958 Brussels World Fair.
That sounds horrible.
Not good. Yeah, it was basically using people of color to, like,
were they compared
to the animal? No.
Yeah. At first I was thinking, like, oh, how interesting. Like, just like, oh, humans are an animal.
No.
But this is, like, a very racist thing.
Like, I'm picturing, like, colonial times where they hire people to, like, act as people of that age or something.
No.
Do they actually, like, capture people from tribes?
Correct. Yeah. It's not great, guys.
Really?
Not a good time. But yeah, that was happening as late as 1958.
What?
So yeah. Yep. That's the last that was the last one that I could find. So
they were actually, like, capturing people from various tribes of some kind and, like, putting them in the zoo.
I don't want to go on record saying, like, these people were displayed as animals with animals in the same exhibit.
That's so wild.
You know what, like, world fairs and everything, there were often, like, cultural exhibits, and it was very questionable, like, how
it was part of a cultural exhibit. Yeah. It was part of the Congolese village display. But, like, these are people in the Congo. So they were displayed as, like, a lot of the literature said, like, missing link between humans and animals. Like, no, those are just people of color. Like, that's not cool.
Oh,
so yeah, it was not a great look.
I just found the Congolese village, like, in 1958.
It's not good.
It's like a picture that's become embolic of this phenomenon. A young African girl in a Western dress. She's fed by outstretched white hands by a patron. A fence stands between them. A throng of visitors watch. It's like this little African girl wearing a dress being fed like a fucking animal at a petting zoo.
Yeah, it's really not good, guys.
Oh, my God.
1970s. The emergence of the study of ecology makes zoos refocus on conservation. So ecology, the definition, is the study of relationships that organisms have with each other and with their physical surroundings. So the American Zoological Association announces during this time that conservation is, quote, its highest priority. And many zoos stop animal performances around this time. Obviously not all. Obviously, like, that's still a thing if you go to, like, SeaWorld or whatever. But a lot of zoos rebranded themselves as being all about conservation and not about entertainment. 1980s. The National Zoo in Washington, D.C. coins the term biopark in a move to distance itself from the controversies around zoos. 1993. The New York Zoological Society rebrands as the Wildlife Conservation Society and relabels all of the zoos in its jurisdiction as wildlife conservation parks. So they're getting away from the term zoo.
But I mean, are they changing anything about how they operate?
Nope. It's just the name.
Branding.
2014, Wrocław Zoo in Poland opened the Africarium. This is pretty cool. So this is the world's only oceanarium devoted solely to exhibiting, like, the plants, the fauna of Africa. So it comprehensively exhibits, like, selected ecosystems, but it's the first of its kind to do that. And that opened in 2014. If you want to see a shit ton of plants, go to Poland. So that's a brief history. Let's talk about the controversies a little bit. So critics of zoos have several arguments. They say that the negligence is rampant in an enclosed environment like this. There are we've all seen the documentaries like 2013's Blackfish, 2020's series Tiger King even reveals like the cruelty and neglect in both major animal parks as well as like the smaller roadside zoos. So like it's not specific to like the size of the park necessarily.
Right. Mm-hmm. Blackfish was very disturbing to me.
Yeah, I did not. I hated it. I hated it so much. I mean, it was important that I see it, but it was terrible.
But I will never go to like one of those sea parks ever again. I went many times before that. I've probably been like once or twice. But
I mean, we went as kids, you know, like in the 90s and stuff. But like I have pictures.
Free Willy?
Yeah. I have pictures of like me and my cousins like at, you know, whale shows and stuff. And now as like a sentient human, I'm kind of like, oh, that's icky.
When I was in ninth grade, I did one of the, I think it was SeaWorld San Diego, and I swam with the dolphins and like we did little tricks and they, I like held on to their fins and they like the dolphin like swam me around the pool and I thought it was so awesome. And I still see the picture sometimes and I'm like, oh, this hasn't really aged well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like now...
Thank you, Mom, for doing that for me because I know I loved it at the time and it was
a really great memory at the time. Yeah.
That's what people did.
We did that in Cancun.
And still do, probably.
That's what you recognize now that it's probably not the smartest thing and you've changed your behavior. So we forgive you.
I feel like anything before Blackfish was kind of like you didn't really know, you know, like.
Yeah. I feel like Blackfish was eye opening.
Like we went to Cancun in 2011 and we did this. Yeah. And we did the same thing, you know? So I don't know. Anyway,
I did it in the Bahamas, the swim with the dolphins thing. And I did it in Punta Cana as well, I think, you know, which is something you did.
Now I scuba dive.
Yes. You keep your distance.
Yeah.
I mean, I also got white people cornrows when I went to the Bahamas.
Like, I did that too. So did like, I.
We all did regrettable things as children.
We've all done stupid things.
Yes.
Anyway. In the early 2000s.
So space is consistently limited and can be detrimental to the animals. That's another argument. This can lead to animals moving between the zoos, like nationwide, rampant use of contraception, sale of the excess animals, and even euthanasia or culling the population. And a really prominent example of this was in 2014, Copenhagen Zoo's giraffe population had to be culled. And there was like widespread online outrage, including petitions to adopt the giraffes that were like going to be euthanized. But it still happened. And the zoo went on record saying that the giraffes were already genetically represented and the ones that were euthanized were unsuitable for breeding. But it still just like left a really bad taste in everybody's mouth.
Animal's life.
Yeah. So that's kind of icky. It's not good. And they would also argue that critics of zoos would also argue that it's unethical to remove animals from their natural habitat for human purposes.
Right.
Whether it's for entertainment or scholarly pursuits. PETA argues that most zoos do not contribute to conservation efforts of endangered species in any meaningful way. So that is my summary of the argument. Please don't at me saying actually PETA blah, 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 and reinforcing my argument. That was the summary of several articles. So let's talk about the flip side. Zoo advocates would argue that zoos allow scientists to study animals in an effort to understand them better. And when the public interacts with these wild animals and understands them better, it leads to increased empathy, understanding that was inaccessible before. And also the zoos fund a large portion of this research throughout the world. So like generally speaking, zoos are a very large portion of like funding for on-site research in like the savannah or, you know, expeditions that search for specific wildlife in the coral reefs, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Zoos also allow us to conserve vulnerable populations. So there are captive breeding programs that aim to save endangered species around the world. And one example of this is the California condor. So in 1982, there were only 27 of these condors left in the world. In 1987, all of 27 of these condors were placed into a captive breeding program and divided among the San Diego Zoo and the LA Zoo. The San Diego Zoo built a special aviary enclosure to encourage mating among the condors. And in 1993, the captive breeding was so successful that this is 6 years later, some of the condors were released back into the wild. In 2006, the first mated pair was sighted in the wild since the release. And in 2015, which was the last count, apparently, there are now over 400 California condors in the wild. So that is a success story. Mm-hmm. Like, they grew by orders of magnitude. Like, they went from 27 to 400. Like, those are real numbers. That's real change. So that is my segment about the controversy of zoos, everybody.
Yeah, they're definitely, like I said, reflecting on like our experiences from childhood and thinking about where we are now, mm-hmm. and knowing better. Mm-hmm. It's hard to kind of balance.
Yeah.
You know, the education aspect, you know, I want like my nieces and nephews to have zoo experiences.
Yes.
But also like how to deliver the message appropriately and respectfully and, you know, like going to the right zoos and,
yeah,
you know,
and just supporting like the zoos that are doing the work and trying to, you know, do right by the animals. Like, yeah. they aren't, you know, having shows like seal shows or, you know, manipulating the animals
sedating them or anything like that, so you can pet them and shit like that.
Right.
Yeah. I like to hope that the zoos that I've been to are taking these animals for rescue type purposes. And
well, a lot of them are very outward about it at this point. They say like, you know, this funding goes toward research, this fund, like this enclosure, like we're expanding it, you know, whatever. So, I mean, at least the Denver Zoo is very open about like their plans to do better and their plans to, you know, fund research abroad and all of that stuff. So
Yeah.
I don't know. The zoo experience is one that I loved growing up. Like, we were zoo members. We did the whole thing. I understand the criticisms. It's just, I don't know. It's a double-edged sword.
For sure.
Yeah, I think the conservation focus is really critical. And if it's like, if it doesn't have a conservation associated mission, like, not getting my ticket money.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the videos of the zoo in Japan that does the safety drills for an escaped animal? I think they might be only do it annually, but every year they do it. It's a different animal. It's like, you know, they're practicing the drill for if an animal escapes an enclosure. And so it involves like a staff member in like a full body costume, and so they've done like a bear.
Oh my god, that's critical to it. Otherwise, I will not participate.
And they do everything. It's like this, like, you know, 6 foot tall bear running around. It's being chased by other staff. They've got nets. They put up fencing, and so they're just like chasing their colleague in a bear costume around the zoo. And then eventually they, like, a van rolls in, like, they quote air quote sedate the bear. So like they like pretend to shoot the employee and they like dramatically fall down. And then like the crew jumps out of the van and they run over and they like throw a net over the bear and like bring him into the van and take off.
Take him into custody.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's this whole like hilarious thing.
Okay.
And Tracy, like, people,
well,
come
now
to
I'm Googling that.
Tracy, Fun Times Friday, when this episode airs, has to be,
I mean, obviously,
this plus a turtle humping a shoe to get the noise reference
so
that I made
things
in the beginning.
Oh god.
Just like do two videos, the zoo capture video and the turtle humping a shoe.
I hate it and I love it.
With his little
okay. All right. Oh my god. I can't even think of a good segue. You can listen to Harpy Hour on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen, please rate us and leave us a review. Any review, but not just any review. Great reviews.
If you have stories you think we might like, or you just want to say hello because you think we're awesome, you can email us at harpyhourpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Harpy Hour Pod. I'm going to put Steph in a zoo and not the good one.
She does not get a moat enclosure.
Oh.
You get to cage.
With her one eye, she needs to be saved.
Yes. Please conserve me. I'm not safe for the environment.
Nope.
We're also on Patreon. Head on over to Patreon, check out the different tiers that we have. We have goodies for you if you donate to us, which you should do to help keep us on the air.
Do it.
So thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.